From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 5th day of December, 2016. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. It's your last day to pre-register for next week's Illinois Farm Economics Summits. Visit the Farm Doc Daily website or willag.org. Get yourself registered today. The cost is $65 if you pre-register online, $70 if you make a phone call, or $75 if you just show up at the events will be in Champaign, Peoria, Springfield, DeKalb, and Mount Vernon next week. Now, coming up in today's show, we'll talk about the commodity markets, of course, with Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. Hear from Governor Rauner's address to the Illinois Farm Bureau earlier in the day today at their annual convention in Chicago. And check the weather forecast, too. That with the guys at Wrist Pulse right here on Illinois Public Media for a Monday afternoon.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on this 5th day of December 2016. We're now joined by Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Kurt.
Well, good afternoon, Todd.
Hey, what a good day in Chicago, at least if you wanted the grains and the oil seeds to go higher. Why is it that the corn market managed to garner an extra 12 points or 12 cents in today's trade?
Well, with us, Thanksgiving all over again. Yeah, higher prices clear across the board. I actually saw about 19,000 contracts being bought by the commodity funds going into midday. I'm sure that total is higher than that. I think positioning a little bit ahead of year end. They've been super short the corn futures here for most of the year and seeing a little short covering there. We're seeing a situation where corn particularly, guys are just wanting to hang on to it and not too excited about pushing a whole lot of corn out the door, for say. So that has stimulated a little buying here to put us up against some downtrend lines. Probably the new twist this week, extremely cold weathers as we move towards the weekend. Oftentimes cold weather is associated with more feed consumption. Meal was a leader, and part of that meal leadership, not only due to the cold forecast, was stronger meal prices in Asia. So I think it was a combination of things. The key now is whether we can follow through Tuesday or have a turnaround Tuesday.
And your thought on that would be which way?
A little bit of both. I think we're going to try to follow through here. There's some sell stops above the marketplace, but we continue to be range-bound here. It seems like the trade's doing an excellent job, runner up and runner down. Probably the key will be the forecast for the Southern Hemisphere as we go into tomorrow's trade. It's still early in the growing season, but there's some ideas that the Southern Hemisphere is turning to a much drier forecast as we look at those 30 to 60 day weather maps. And if that would hold true, that could get the trade very excited about trading beans and oil products here as we move through the winter months.
Informa released some numbers earlier in the day. What did they say, and did they have much of an impact?
Well, for the most part, a million metric tons here, a million metric tons there. The bigger number of those million metric tons was the world wheat crop was raised 4.8 million metric tons, and that was due to a higher Australian crop. So, it just confirms we've got ample supplies of wheat around the world. That's what's going to keep a lid on feed grain values in general. We have ample supplies to work with. Probably the next round of important numbers will be the January final crop report for say, but until we get there, we'll have to see what the December 1st grain stocks report shows, and also we'll have the 2017 winter wheat acreage. There is a monthly supply demand report this Friday, but it's not expected to see whole lot change in the numbers, because that number's typically just about unchanged.
So the November report due out at 11 o'clock on Friday, and as you said, that normally doesn't change very much. So we'll keep an eye on that number. What are you hearing from farmers mostly at this time, that they're just happy to leave the bin door closed, especially for corn?
That's a good question. We spent last week at the Peoria Farm Show, and I always enjoy that, visiting. A lot of different ideas floating out there. But there is that movement towards more bean acres this next crop year. I know spring weather will, maybe change that psychology around a little bit. But two schools of thought. One is that a lot of guys I visited with, is just their rotation favors more beans this coming year. And so it's just not a financial situation for those guys. And so there's going to be naturally a little bit heavier beans. Then two, the other part is the financial situation where bankers are pushing a little heavier beans from the standpoint, you know, a little risk on the table here as a whole with dollars invested in the crop. And at these price levels here, if you go ahead and lock in a floor at these price levels here, the ability to, you know, pay some bills is a lot higher. So it's always interesting to visit with those producers at these trade shows and kind of learn what's on their mind, Todd.
Hey, thanks so much. Anything to add as I let you go for the afternoon?
Nope. We'll see how this week unfolds in through here. We start to see holidays start to kick in here as we move into the middle of the month.
Hey, thanks so much.
All right, take care.
That, of course, Kurt Kimmel. He is with Bates Commodities. In today's agricultural news, the Speaker of the House for the United States has pledged to beat back regulations. House Speaker Paul Ryan last night pointed to agriculture as an example of a sector that's overregulated as he pledged to make regulatory relief a priority in the next Congress. There are a lot of regulations that are just really crushing jobs, Ryan said during a 60 Minutes interview, right after being grilled on the GOP's plan to repeal and replace Obamacare. Ryan was asked what else he expects to get done in the first year of the Trump administration. He went straight to regulations as the number two priority. Look at the coal miners in the Rust Belt that are getting out of work. Look at the loggers and timber workers in the paper mills in the West Coast. Look at the ranchers or farmers in the Midwest with regulations. Ryan was pressed about whether the goal is to roll back environmental and safety regulations. He said, "I'm talking about smarter regulations that actually help us grow jobs in this country. We want to have good stewardship and conservation of the environment and economic growth." On the economic growth side, let's flip out to the global economy. Trade ministers failed yesterday to finalize green goods. There will not be a deal on environmental goods this year after the 17 World Trade Organization members involved in the environmental goods agreement failed to wrap up talks at what was supposed to be a concluding ministerial in Geneva this weekend. Officials involved say responsibility for the failure rests almost entirely with China, which stood at odds with nearly every other delegation on issues ranging from which products should be covered under the agreement to how long countries should have to eliminate tariffs. The United States worked pretty hard to create a path to a successful EGA agreement, Deputy U.S. Trade Representative Michael Punky told Morning Trade. Unfortunately, not all participants were ready to contribute to that success. The failure comes after 2.5 years of formal talks and 18 rounds of negotiations, the last of which involved more than a week of round-the-clock closed-door sessions at WTO headquarters. And finally today, we'll come back to the state of Illinois, where Governor Bruce Rauner says he has no intention of agreeing to a stopgap spending plan for the state of Illinois, at least not without some concessions. The governor told members of the Illinois Farm Bureau gathered for their annual convention in Chicago today that he has already outlined the concessions to Speaker of the House, Mike Madigan.
I said last week, "Mr. Speaker, if this is what you're going to insist on, if you're going to use your political power to just force another stopgap spending plan, then I will insist, I will not accept that. I will insist that we'll at least make a down payment on reform, at least initial popular bipartisan reforms, two things, term limits and a property tax freeze."
We'll hear more from Governor Rauner and three things he thinks that farmers attending the Illinois Farm Bureau meeting can do to help him in just a few moments. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. I'm UofI Extension's Todd Gleason, extending my thanks to Corey Ritter, who is a Blue Mound, Illinois farmer, an AgriGold dealer, and an avid user of Twitter. Corey's handle is at Corey Ritter. He also uses Periscope and is the way we were able to capture audio from Governor Rauner's speech to the members of the Illinois Farm Bureau gathered in Chicago today. In that speech, the governor called for the members, not the organization, to help him out on three fronts at the General Assembly in Springfield.
Let me tell you three examples of where the system's broken and where I can use your help. We need a new education funding formula. Our schools are the worst funded in America, especially our rural schools, our small schools, our low-income schools. They don't get enough money. We're the worst state in America. And the last time our education funding formula was changed was by Blagojevich and Madigan in 2003. We need to change the system. They're resisting it. They don't really want to do it, but we've got to change the system and put more money in our schools. And I'm proud. I'm proud of my, I'm a pro-education, pro-K-12 advocate. I want the money in the classroom with our kids and our teachers. That's where the money should go first and foremost. That should be the top priority when we spend taxpayer money. I want the best schools, and I want great agriculture education in our schools. And I fought to get that in the system. More agriculture education spending, but more overall system education fund. They're resistant. I need your help to encourage the implementation of what the task force is going to recommend and changing the funding formula, because they're going to push back. They created the current system. We got to change it and get it so it's more fair and balanced. Need your support. Get out there. Spread the word in your communities, with your school boards, with your local newspapers, with your local radio stations. Get the word. We need education funding reform in the state of Illinois. Let me give you another example. State Fair grounds and the foundation. This is such a classic example. So we have to advocate for you and our farm families and agriculture products. We should have the best fairgrounds in America. Springfield and New Coin, they should be outstanding. That drives our economy, that drives our farm sales, that farms our pushes our tourism. Those are economic engines, those fairgrounds. And they've been left to rot, just like the governor's mansion and most everything else. And I asked, we sponsored a bill in the legislature last year to create a foundation, just like other agricultural states have, so we can raise money from agribusiness, from corporations, from successful individuals who are generous and want to donate, so we can fix up the fairgrounds and not have to put the pressure on the taxpayers. It's common sense. It's a win for everybody. And virtually every other state's done it. Speaker Madigan and his majority wouldn't call the bill. We should have nice fairgrounds, and we shouldn't have to put all the pressure on the taxpayers. We need your help. Let's get these guys now, and I applaud. We encourage them, but private citizens stepped up. Private citizens stepped up and said, well, if the majority of the General Assembly is not going to do their job, we're going to do it. They set up a fair foundation, and it's all private, C3, and my wife and I are going to donate, and I encourage anybody that you know, donate, let's chip in. Let's get some of this repairs done and upgrades done. The fairgrounds, and we got this coming. And this is an example why the system is so broken. Just for political muscle, they wouldn't call a bill that's a home run for farm families. We got to get this done. Now, I don't know if you noticed this or not. I'm doing a press conference in a minute to talk about it. On Friday, Speaker Madigan and his Democratic legislators filed a lawsuit to make sure that they get their pay now against Comptroller Munger. That was her last day in office. She's leaving. They made sure they timed it to be on her last day because they know she's been fighting. She said, you don't do a budget, you should not be paid. You're paid. But they waited until her last day because they know they don't want her fighting it, because she'll fight it and stop it. So then they didn't want to embarrass their new comptroller, Mendoza. And then the new comptroller said, well, I support what the prior comptroller did, but if the court says that I can't, then I guess we'll have to start paying. So they're in court. Speaker Madigan's own lawyer, Casper, has run the lawsuit for him. And it's a rigged deal. I hope the new comptroller will be fighting it in the press every day and get her own special counsel to fight this ridiculous. This lawsuit is an insult to taxpayers. This lawsuit is an insult to taxpayers. And the new comptroller should get her own attorney, not count on the Attorney General Madigan. She should get her own special counsel and fight this and be in the press every day pound of this. This lawsuit is an insult to you and your families. If the legislators can't do their job and get a balanced budget with reforms, they should be at the bottom of the pay pile, not underneath after our schools and our human services. That's just the right thing to do.
It's Illinois Governor Bruce Rauner addressing members of the Illinois Farm Bureau earlier today in Chicago at their annual convention. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media for a Monday afternoon. It's the 5th day of December. Mark Russo is here. He's with Risk Pulse out of Chicago. Good afternoon to you, Mark.
Hey, good afternoon, Todd.
It was an interesting weekend here, and we'll come back and maybe talk a little bit about the snow and the cold weather coming into the Midwest, but it was just as interesting to watch the price of corn in Chicago jump today, and I think that may have been that may have come as part of a weather problem that's beginning to exist in Argentina. Can you tell me about conditions there for the corn crop?
So part of the increase in sensitivity in Argentina is with dryness that's evolved across a portion of the acreage. It's not all of the acreage in Argentina, but much of Buenos Aires province extending into central Cordoba. That's been the driest over the past 30 days. In fact, rainfall specifically has been less than 50% of normal within that swath of key corn and soybean acreage, with even parts of southern Buenos Aires receiving less than 25% of normal. And along with that, late last week, we did have about 3 to 4 days of temperatures climbing up into the low to mid 90s, even a few isolated upper 90s. And that helped, that has, you know, garnered much attention. Going forward, from a macro perspective for Argentina, there are opportunities for rainfall here coming up over the next couple of weeks. The item of debate, though, is where exactly where the storms fire up during these windows of opportunity. We've seen some scattered storms in recent days. The next wave to watch is going to be on Wednesday and Thursday, and that's going to be followed up by a couple of additional waves of low pressure tracking through about December 13th, 14th, and again the 17th and 18th. As it looks right now, it looks like the highest probability of higher totals look north of Buenos Aires. But that would include portions of Cordoba, which have been on the dry side. So there's a lot of nuances here in the forecast. Overall here, kind of a bit surprised the sensitivity already, considering it is early December. You know, it's the same thing as if we were to get really concerned about dryness in early June here in the Midwest. But Nonetheless, it is the focus of attention. And, from a macro standpoint, there are opportunities for rain, but will you totally eliminate dryness in Argentina over the next couple of weeks? Probably not.
All right. Then come very quickly, we only have about a minute left, to the United States. Cold weather is dropping into the Corn Belt.
Certainly a major pattern change here across North America. We're seeing influx of Arctic air. In fact, over the next several days, we will be seeing Siberian air flow into the western and central U.S., and that includes here in the Midwest. And we see that pattern persisting through next week and even beyond, indications that this pattern will become locked into place to change from the ultra warmth here.
All right. Hey, thanks so much. We appreciate you taking the time with us today.
All right. My pleasure, Todd.
Mark Russo, of course, is with Risk Pulse out of Chicago, Illinois. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. You can listen to him and all the rest of our meteorologists anytime you'd like at WILLAG.org.